Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dan Levinson, Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Brenda Kunkel. So, Dan, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the areas in which HHS faces some challenges? For example, let's talk about delivery and payment reform in healthcare programs.
Well, in this area, Michael, things have really sped up since the passage of the Affordable Care Act back in 2010. This is, at least for the public sector, a very significant landmark in making the transition from fee-for-service to these new kinds of systems where we're moving from volume to value. And as we do so, this raises all kinds of challenges with respect to the implementation, the operation, and the oversight challenges for the department. Now, as an office, we have a lot of experience identifying vulnerabilities in the fee-for-service system. As I mentioned earlier, there are billions of dollars of improper payments. So we know that we've had all kinds of problems that we've tried to overcome with, in effect, the traditional system. We hope to avoid those, but we don't want to, in exchange, wind up with a whole set of new issues. And the challenge here, fundamentally, is the shift from a system that very much favored arm's-length transactions between providers in order to avoid, we're in the field of insurance and moral hazard. We don't want to encourage unnecessary billing. But the old system of basically paying for the more procedures you do, the more money you make, that kind of system we, in part, policed by insisting that providers keep arm's length between one another so that there is no incentive for people to collude in ways that would unnecessarily drive up costs. Well, in this new system in which we're trying to think about how we coordinate care, the paradigm shift is going from arm's length to bringing everybody under the tent, so to speak, and trying to create a more cooperative way of bringing providers in these different areas together to deliver a more comprehensive, a more holistic approach to healthcare, because both the life science and the social science suggests that we're going to get better outcomes for more people if we can think about integrating our medical care with our health care and perhaps with our social service programs as well. Well, that's all well and good. And if that indeed is the promise, then we all need to work to help deliver on that promise. And what we try to do in the Inspector General's office is to play our part in thinking through with our program officials how we can make that promise happen, how we can make it a reality, while avoiding the potential pitfalls that not being able to account for dollar through the old fee-for-service system at least had the capacity at times to do. So we want to build in the right kind of internal controls. Because we're making this move from fee-for-service to these coordinated care models, many of the models are including waivers of our anti-fraud statutes, like the anti-kickback statute, the physician self-referral law, the prohibition on giving inducements to beneficiaries. We're waiving, the programs are waiving some of those laws so that providers can provide, in certain instances, incentives to beneficiaries to get them to do, quote unquote, the right thing. We're waiving the anti-kickback statute so that providers themselves can divvy up the payments in a way that acknowledge their contribution to a larger whole. Well, again, that That is, there is the promise there of being able to do a better job, but there's also the vulnerability of dollars potentially being lost if the system can be gamed. So we want to protect the public dollar while at the same time delivering on the promise of better health care. And that is a significant challenge that really requires, I think, the kinds of broad expertise that we've brought in to OIG so that we can understand this from a variety of different perspectives and bring everybody together around the table and say, how can we do the best possible job for the taxpayer, for the beneficiary, for the recipient?
And earlier you mentioned an expanding Medicaid program. Why is OIG focused on Medicaid?
Medicaid has become a much larger program than it was historically. But in light of the problems with the economy, post 2008 and the expansion of the Medicaid dollars that was approved as part of the Recovery Act, we had a significant uptick in the number of Medicaid recipients. And then the Affordable Care Act also expanded the Medicaid program and made it much more of a health insurance program as opposed to an assistance program. It's now become much more a part of the health insurance landscape. And we're looking now at over 72 million Americans having the benefit of Medicaid programs. That's nearly one in four of every Americans. It is a very, very large footprint when it comes to the $3 trillion national healthcare economy. And effectively administering the Medicaid program really takes on a heightened urgency as the program continues to expand under the Affordable Care Act and with these significant efforts to modernize the program and to do it in ways that are different to a certain degree from state to state. As you may know, the Medicaid program is not one program, it's 51 programs. And it is a shared responsibility of the federal and state government. So we really need to think in terms of how the Medicaid programs are working in their various ways, the way in which people are thinking more and more about how you can deliver care, perhaps through telemedicine, through managing patient populations. Managed care, for example, has become a much more significant part of the Medicaid program in the last few years. And whatever benefits these kinds of management programs bring, it sometimes makes the ability to follow the money, to understand the billing, very opaque, so that our auditors, our investigators, are challenged to be able to really know how that federal dollar devoted to Medicaid is actually being spent. So these are big challenges, I think, for the department, and they're significant challenges for OIG to be able to do the best possible job in our oversight responsibilities.
So, Dan, why are you focused on electronic health information and particularly health information technology?
Well, health information technology really is so crucial to being able to navigate the healthcare system in today's world. Electronic health records now offer the opportunity for improved patient care. They should provide more efficient practice management. And the promise is to improve overall public health. Health information technology is viewed very much as the key to making this paradigm shift in delivery and payment succeed. The challenge here is that there's a lot of sensitive information, obviously, that is going across the wires or in wireless, just going across the airwaves. You need to make sure that you've leveraged the data, that it's complete and accurate and timely, and you also need to make sure that it's secure, so that it doesn't become the target of cyber criminals. We have read about breaches in the private sector, and breaches can occur in virtually any part of our healthcare economy, and that raises harms that are both financial and potentially physical. You know, once you're in the realm of healthcare technology, you're talking about money, but you're talking about more than money. And people can physically be harmed by the kinds of frauds that can be committed in the realm of health information technology. So we're very focused on being able to get the best possible systems in place that will deliver what they're supposed to deliver and avoid these kinds of harms. So I have in my office a senior counsel for information technology, and he is a vital counsel, not just to me, but to all of our managers and executives as we think through how we're going to be able to do the kind of oversight that will reveal where the vulnerabilities are and then help navigate program officials through these difficulties so that we can come up with systems that actually perform.
We've talked a lot about Medicare and Medicaid, but you also mentioned public health and human services programs. Can you talk about those for a bit?
Yes, Brenda. We have very, very large programs at HHS that are completely separate from CMS, from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The Administration for Children and Families, which deals with children in foster care, Child Care and Development Fund. We do oversight of the Indian Health Service. The funds that are devoted to these programs, it's vitally important that they be effectively managed so that they can meet their goals and best serve the intended beneficiaries. The Indian Health Service, for example, operates 28 acute care hospitals that provide free inpatient care to eligible American Indians and Alaska Natives. It's interesting because we don't necessarily think of HHS as actually delivering care, but the public health service, a very dedicated core of healthcare professionals, does actually deliver care in these instances. And we're looking at how the Indian Health Service is monitoring and overseeing those hospitals. We plan to describe the challenges affecting these hospitals and their ability to provide quality care and comply with Medicare standards. We view this as a really important part of our mission, even though it is, in terms of, you know, by a percentage of our resource, it is a much smaller part of our portfolio.
So, Dan, I talked to many of our guests about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. Would you tell us how you're leveraging partnerships to improve operations and outcomes? And to what extent can collaboration and partnerships enhance oversight and government performance?
Well, Michael, I think this is actually a very, very crucial part of how we need to do business, and we hope others do business. And fortunately, they do business with us. And we think of the collaboration that's necessary just within our own department, with our own program officials. We often provide technical assistance to our agencies on program integrity matters. And that allows them to consider program integrity as they're designing programs and to prevent some of the frauds and waste from happening in the first instance. We also collaborate with agencies beyond HHS, where issues are cross-cutting. So a great example of that is in the area of the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, known as PEPFAR, in which we coordinate an oversight plan with USAID OIG and the Department of State OIG. And our auditors travel to South and East Africa and to Asia and work with our OIG partners in being able to audit these precious funds to make sure they're being used appropriately. Another very good example is how we partner with the public and private parties, both law enforcement as well as insurers, in participating in the Healthcare Fraud Prevention Partnership. Together, we're able to use data and analytic tools to proactively address healthcare for fraud. And from what we're hearing from the partnership, these kinds of cooperative efforts are making a significant difference.
What is it about public service that you find the most rewarding? And what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in public service?
Well, Michael, I think that what is especially rewarding about these jobs is how meaningful it is. You know, not every day goes perfectly, but I have never gone home thinking that, you know, what am I doing here? Why am I devoting the time that I do to this job? These programs are important to our nation, and being able to work with such dedicated professionals as we have in our office, it's always a meaningful day, whether the day has gone well or not. It brings a tremendous psychological rewards, the sense that you're working with others to make a difference. And for those who want to do this kind of work, I think the important thing is perseverance, because government in many respects does not work as quickly as we would hope or it should. So for those who are interested in this, it really does require a lot of perseverance and a lot of interest in working with others to make these things happen. I've talked about collaboration and about partnership. It's not just partnership within our office, which is important, but we deal with people in the department, in Congress, in the industry. We view them as important partners in being able to protect the public fisc and to provide, you know, quality health care. And when you feel like you're making progress in this area, and I believe that we have contributed significantly to progress, it is very, very rewarding.
Great, Dan. Thanks again for your time. But more importantly, Brenda and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Michael, Brenda, thank you so very much for the opportunity to be with you. And please look forward this fall to our top management challenges as they're issued and our work plan. We're looking at a very, very exciting future.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Dan Levinson, Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. My co-host from IBM has been Brenda Kunkel. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.